Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we keep you up to date on all the ways in which the world is one step closer to the edge, and I'm about to break. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined by my good pal, Dee Dee Rose. Deanna, what's up, buddy?
That was jarring. I have been jarred. I've been depotted by that action.
I would never depot a friend. Don't say that. Don't put that on this recording.
Otherwise, I'm chilling. I went to SummerSlam in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah.
And saw some WWE drama go down live in living color. Had a great time. Everyone there was ugly and smelled bad. Or both.
Including, never mind.
I was ugly or smelled bad. I smelled bad, okay? I smelled bad. It was very hot.
Here's the thing. I'm not actually a big fan of wrestling, but like everybody being ugly and smelling bad, like I feel like I would feel at home at least.
You could get laid there so easy. Like you're a W, like
you're, I do look like I am built like a WWE fan for sure.
Yeah. You're a WWE crowd, like eight for sure. You're a WWE crowd eight. You could pull. Yeah, that you could really get some stuff done there.
I bet you sure. I would be skinny at a WWE event.
Oh, yeah, event. Yeah, like, yeah, for sure. You're WWE fit.
For the listeners at home, I have a weird-shaped body. Joining us today, friend of the show, returning champion, Georgia Warder. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Hi, friend.
I think you'd be a NASCAR 7, for the record.
Yeah.
I don't even know why that's funny, but it did make me laugh.
Yeah, definitely a WWE 8, but a NASCAR 7 for sure. Yeah,
100%.
Because NASCAR got some other stuff going on. They you got know, some fitness happening there.
I have had the thought before that I'm like, I am kind of bummed out that my parents never forced me to play baseball because like, I don't know how much you know about baseball, but like there are some players on the field of baseball that kind of just look like shit.
It's giving apple like, on toothpicks all the way down. Yeah, for sure.
Like I look like I could maybe be a third baseman. Like, you know, not a guy that's running across the field. No, just a guy that's like, you know, if I knew how to make contact with a ball, they'd be like, we'll find somewhere to put him. Like,
he can walk. Get a walk every time. Bases loaded.
I am not running. Georgia, what's new with you? It's been a while since you've been here.
I don't know. Not running for sure. No. That part's good.
You and Joe Biden, just the same. Not running.
For you.
Just like me. For
this
real.
Is a topical podcast.
This is a political podcast.
Have you been doing? I haven't been at a lot of open mics in the last like couple weeks. There have been so many news stories like the assassination and Joe Biden dropping out. Have you heard a million terrible jokes about it?
Honestly, I think I expected more with the ear clipping in Butler, and not a one.
Oh, I have a joke about
but
it.
But I also have a problem of what's not that? Listening to other people's sets. So.
That's not a problem. That is the solution.
It's a sanity thing.
Yeah.
I have a joke. I'll burn material on this podcast. I don't care. I have a joke about how I'm really glad that Donald Trump didn't die because incels don't deserve that kind of win.
I like it.
It hasn't been fully fleshed out yet, but like, man... Can you imagine if incels were like, we finally did something good?
Involuntarily celibate, like, voluntary assassins.
Like, you never want to be in a position where like, well, you got to hand it to the incels for that one.
Okay. But what's upsetting is like, in like movies, there is a trope about like a top athlete or like a fighter or whatever, like avoiding sex to stay focused on the fight. Like, he should have landed that fucking shot.
Well, the last thing he looked up was porn. That dude jerked off before he went, and that's why he missed.
He lost focus. He had cum brain.
Cum brain. Wait. Are you supposed to have post-nut clarity, though? Yeah,
well, I don't know how anything works.
I
don't think it's that kind of clarity. I think it's the clarity of like whatever you were just doing was actually a sick and vulgar act. Like
The post-nut clarity is just, what am I watching right
it's
now?
That was it. It was the guilt of what the he was clarity watching. Is, he was like, I got to go do something for the people.
The clarity is like, fuck, I am a fucking pervert.
Hell yeah.
I'm a pervert now, but in about 15 minutes, I'm going out a legend.
Yeah, he was like, I'm sick of being a pervert. I'm going to be something else.
Today's my day. Yeah. Sorry, I just remembered some words that I wanted to say on this podcast.
Tough for him because he was like down. A rodeo four.
I like it. Too many farm boys. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. Look. It's hard to get up in the ranks at rodeo. It's
very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel
very
like I could
easy to rise up the ranks.
Ride up.
Don't wear red.
It does comfort me to think that even if you had hair, you wouldn't have a ponytail.
Okay.
The listening audience, I just watched the life drain out of Andrew Hillary's eyes, slowly grabbing for the vape.
Earlier today, Andrew, when he was setting up the arrangement of things, was like, it's better to look at someone while you're podcasting. And I just want to say that actually, it's way easier for me to insult you when you're next to me. But like having to face on, watch that.
Yeah, you have to see what you've done to
like,
me.
Watching that deflate your ego. That was like, this is post nut clarity, but for roasting your friend. Like
roast nut clarity.
I feel bad.
You should. So the thing is that last year, as I was growing out my skullet, it did get to a certain point in length where it was enough to tie to like pull it back into a ponytail. And I'm not going to say that I like rocked it, but I will say that, you know, it felt pretty good whenever to like pull your hair back and get it out of your face. So I think I actually, you know, if I had hair,
this
I don't
is
know if I'd rock the ponytail.
This is why
but,
God
like,
took it from you. Irresponsible.
He knew better.
Irresponsible. Can't be trusted ass.
Well, that settles it. God, enemy of the podcast. Folks, we've got
He's enemy of your hairline. I'm so sorry.
You aren't.
You're right. I'm going to do all of this again later.
Did I have a shaved head the last time I was on the podcast? Because I have hair now.
Nah, it was like a inverse. It was like a little pixie vibe. It was like growing in.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, I think.
Yeah.
Now that the listeners are up to date on the relative lengths of our hair.
My hair is long and flowing and pretty.
And Deanna has good hair. Fuck Deanna. We've got a Patreon. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Kennedy and I just recorded the wrap up of season 4 of The Boys. Kennedy also not here right now. We didn't even talk about that.
Where the fuck is Kennedy?
Kennedy, if you can hear me right now, tell Deanna she's a meanie. So we were talking about The Boys over on the Patreon. You can head on over to patreon.com/worstweekyet to check that out. Kennedy and I also had a brief discussion about something we'll probably talk about today as well, which is the insanity of people talking about gender at the Olympics. Go figure. Nobody is normal about this, and Kennedy and I discussed it for a bit, so you can check that out. And if you give $10 a month, we'll say your name.
We'll tell all the other fans what a good fan you are.
Yeah, I'm going to read from a list of the absolute best fans.
Some of our favorite patrons.
Some of our favorite, top 24, I think. I don't know how many there are. There are a lot. So thank you to Chauncey Anders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Donner, Mega Force Base, Nate DeAngelis Old, Hobgoblin, Dragula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrew Humphrey, you fuck like my dad? Josh Troopin, why not? I pay more for OnlyFans. Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, Idnex, and CIA Brainbugs. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Hell yeah. So, are yous ready?
Yeah, dog, I've been ready.
So ready.
It's the end of the world. We are all going to die. Everything.
And not a moment too soon.
It's about damn time.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch.
So I don't know if the two of you are aware, but we may be on the brink of World War III. Now, I know, listeners, what you're thinking.
If I had a dollar for every time you've said this to me on this podcast, I could sign up at least for 2 months at the $10 a month level. to our Patreon, to our own Patreon.
Yes. And that's called money laundering for stupid people. So there's been some developments with, you know, the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Oh, boy. We're getting into geopolitics off the bat. That's right. So, you know, we've been following Israel's assault on Gaza for, you know, since day one. We've been here. We've been talking about it. There's been some developments this week. See, Israel, after Benjamin Netanyahu came and spoke in front of Congress last week, Israel was like, man, I think they were really feeling themselves. I think Netanyahu went home and he's like, man, I just went in front of Congress and lied about beheaded babies and these motherfuckers didn't do shit. I'm gonna up the ante. He's like, you know what? Let me see how far I can take this shit.
Jet lag also makes me crazy. I've done some fucked up shit when I have jet lag, okay?
So this week, well, first of all, this week there were some protests in Israel. I don't know if you saw this. There is a prison where the IDF keeps kidnapped Gazans. I don't know exactly how you say it. You know, they say they're Hamas fighters, but they do kind of say that every Palestinian is a Hamas fighter. So who's to say? Over the last few months, there's been a lot of stories coming out of people that were in this prison that have been released saying, like, they are raping and torturing everybody in there. And, you know, people say a lot of stuff, you know, in the fog of war. It's like, I don't know, that maybe they would say that. Maybe even if it wasn't true. You know, there's been plenty of times where Israel said stuff and it's like, oh, wait, that wasn't true. So what happened is this week, the government of Israel was like, okay, this rape and torture prison is actually happening. So they went to arrest some of the guards that were doing this. And so protests broke out where not only Israeli citizens, but also members of the Knesset showed up at the prison to defend the fucking guards. There was a pro-prison rape protest in Israel.
Well, I knew they were going to have to relocate Epstein's Island somewhere, but this is shocking.
Little St. James, right outside of Tel Aviv. So this is crazy. You know, it's hard to find words that, like, you know, it sounds like I'm being facetious. But that is like literally what this was, is that people were protesting the right of Israeli prison guards to be able to rape Palestinians, because the way that their laws work is that it is not rape if it's somebody who is not human or like not like a citizen.
That's what a rapist would say.
Yeah. And that's,
I want to let out a blood curdling scream.
And I apologize, actually. I guess I should have, like, set a content warning because of how many times I'm saying this. But, like, you know, I am just literally describing the situation. So my apologies if somebody's listening and, you know, whatever. I'm not being careful with this language. But, like, this is the fucking world we live in. I'm sorry. Yeah, so that was going on. And then, you know, obviously it's kind of bad press for your country to be experiencing
a pro-rape rally?
Yeah. So Israel then the next day, they launched coordinated assassinations of leaders of both Hezbollah and Hamas inside of both Lebanon and Iran. Now, they did a fucking airstrike of this Hezbollah leader in a suburb of Beirut, which is a densely populated area, which is also outside of, like, the combat, you know, Israel and Hezbollah fight along the border of Lebanon. This isn't near that. They fucking shot missiles into the suburbs of a international city.
Oh yeah.
Now thankfully, you know, I don't know about thankfully, but like there weren't a ton of like other casualties, but there fucking could have been if there was like kids playing in the street or whatever. Now this was like alleged to be in retaliation for some fucking missile, like Hezbollah strike that hit kids playing soccer, which is fucked up. But also they were these Arab Israelis. I think it's called Druze. I don't know how to say it. But, you know, Israel doesn't consider Arabs to be fucking people anyway. So, like, I don't know. So then at the same time as they were doing that Hezbollah strike, they also assassinated the political leader of Hamas inside Iran. They fucking blew up somebody in Iran. So here's the thing. I don't know how much you guys know about Iran. They actually like are kind of not into somebody blowing up someone else inside of their country. Like, I know it's kind of like they're eccentric, you know, they're like, why me personally, I would be more than happy for you to blow up somebody inside of my sovereign territory. But you know how Iran
is. I mean, but you're lactose intolerant and eat dairy all the time. Of course you're okay with getting blown up inside your own sovereign territory. That's your lifestyle, generally speaking. Not so much.
I will say, Deanna, for you to make a me shitting myself joke out of a potentially World War III catalytic event, incredible work.
Truly. I show up here with my best for you every week.
So right now, both Hezbollah and Iran have like vowed like, we're not going to let this stand. Like, there was that a couple months ago where there was like limited fire exchange between Israel and Iran. But Iran's like, okay, like, no, you can't just do this. We're going to fuck you up. So right now the entire world is just kind of waiting to see what happens. And it doesn't feel good. You know, there's a lot of, this, you might be listening to this on Monday when it comes out from a bunker. So, or maybe nothing will happen because that's always a possibility. But Iran has said that like they're not going to do this like targeted strike that they work out in back channels to save face. They're like, we're going to fuck you up. And see, the thing about Iran is the United States really doesn't like them. And you know, we have also sent 4,000 additional troops to the Gulf or to the Middle East. We have promised Netanyahu. Joe Biden like got off a phone call with Netanyahu where he's like, he lied to me. He said that they weren't going to escalate. And I told him that we will defend you no matter what. But this is the last time.
Christ on a bike.
Oh, God. Me with my ex. Jeez.
Yeah, so this, For months now, this situation, you know, between Israel and Gaza has been threatening to spin out and you know, blossom into a regional war. Iran famously allies with Russia, allies with China. You know, if the United States goes to war with Iran, that's kind of like us going, it's kind of World War III. So we'll see. I don't feel good about it, but, you know. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I did say that, and I tweeted this, so congratulations. I am just doing old bits. If Joe Biden were to drag us into a war with Iran as he's on his way out the door, that is like the most funny way to quit your job.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of jamming the copier and just being like, fuck this place.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. I'm out.
Just truly incredible stuff. You know, there was like this brief moment where he was like preserved his legacy, but you know, stepping down and doing the right thing for the country, you know, for him to then be like, all right, before I go, let's get involved in a nuclear war. Fuck it.
One more thing. Somebody get me my orange Gatorade and my soup.
The man does love soup. So
does every other 80-something year old.
Call me an 80-something year old because soup is
great. I also love soup. I love soup.
I think we're all finding out that we're octogenarians on this show today.
Yeah, I am. I am 80 for sure. Thinking about this is so wild to me because we are still so many steps potentially removed from any of this conflict surfacing like on American soil or surfacing in a way that will change my life in terms of like wake up every day and like, you know, put on a little cute outfit and go to work and like do all that shit. But like knowing that it's happening so dramatically impacts how I feel about the world and existing in it. And actually knowing that it's happening elsewhere in a tangible way. Whereas like for us, it's just happening in a way of like, we're aware of it, but it's not happening to us. And it doesn't directly involve like our own day-to-day lives. That actually like fucks me up on a fundamental level. Like that just fact of those two realities happening at one time.
Like knowing that these atrocities are happening every single day. And we technically have the option to just like go about our lives and not even think about
it. Yeah, like I could just be vibing in Panera Bread. Like none of that was going on.
Panera Bread is Hamas. You should be careful.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. Have you seen what they charge for a Soup Bowl?
It's where they got those energy drinks.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrorism.
I think Panera should make a generous donation of those drinks to the IDF.
I agree. Yeah. You know?
I think Panera should show up, support the U.S. government's efforts to aid Israel, and just send that power lemonade or whatever it's fucking called. I think unlimited supply.
So moving on, that actually, you know, we were talking about the pro-rape protests, happening in Israel, and believe it or not, that wasn't the only atrocious riots of the week. I don't know if you saw this, this just happened yesterday. So in the United Kingdom, earlier this week, there was a stabbing. Somebody walked into, I believe it was like a dance studio and stabbed three little girls and killed them. So, I mean, obviously, like, horrific stuff, any way you put it. You know, it's, as Americans, though, it does kind of feel like, what, three kids died in an act of random violence? Grow up.
And a knife? Like, first of all, get a gun, you bitch.
Was the knife even loaded? Go to hell. No, I'm kidding. It is sad that these children died.
Yeah, genuinely horrifying.
So, what happened was, in the immediate aftermath, there was no clear information on who the attacker was. So a bunch of right-wing fucking bigots in Britain said that it was an immigrant. Now, before I tell you the rest of what happened, this has come to light that this was not an immigrant. He was a British citizen. He might have like been born somewhere, or he was born in Britain and lived somewhere else and came back. But like, it's, you know, not just some random immigrant or whatever. This was a British guy.
Okay.
So before that news had become clear, in multiple cities in the United Kingdom, a bunch of the far right crazy Reform Party people formed hate mobs and started marching through the streets and attacking every brown person they saw. There are videos of these people chasing down a car and saying, "There's an immigrant inside," and pulling the driver out of the car and beating him in the street. And this happened in four different cities across the United Kingdom, at least four. It might have been more. There's just literally fucking anti-immigrant violent riots happening. And like the police weren't trying to stop. Here's the thing. The police will beat the fuck out of people for holding signs. They will tear gas you for saying like, "Hey, care about another person somewhere else." But when you are literally beating brown people in the streets, they just fucking watch it happen.
Yeah, well, you're taking the load off them. They can go out for coffee and donuts. They don't have to beat the brown people in the streets then.
Fair.
You're doing them a solid, so.
And I did see there was one of the cities they tried to do this in, like that there was people marching. There was also like a punk rock festival happening. And so this is the one of the places that like punk rocks are pretty, or punks are like pretty famously anti-fascist. So these fascists were marching through the street and there's just video of these punks beating the shit out of them. So that's cool. Also in Bristol, I believe, these rioters were like marching on a hotel that like is known for like housing newly arrived immigrants or whatever.
Okay.
And a bunch of non-fascist, I guess you could say Antifa, from Bristol came out and surrounded the hotel and like wouldn't let them in and defended it. So, you know, although it's horrifying, like we might be at a point where it's like, okay, like this isn't just we need to talk about it. We need to actually fight the fascists now. Or at least it is already happening in the UK. And who knows? It might happen here. But
ugh, I'm going to break a fucking nail.
So, yeah, you know, it's good to see multiple bigoted kinds of riots happening across the world. You know, the one thing that can truly unite this world is people hating Muslims.
Yeah, it's the one great unifier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I don't like it here. Let's talk about, you know, there's another great unifier, something that brings the entire world together, and that is the goddamn Olympics. That's right.
I thought you were going to say the goddamn election, and I was going to say... Say more. Explain yourself. But also, go make, on and
you
explain
can make
yourself.
The case that the election unifies us all into being mad. We're all mad. It's just at different people. So, you know.
Everyone is mad. That's true.
So mad. And I would say even a little crazy. So, yes, the Olympics kicked off this week in Paris. You know, one might say the Paris of not Appalachia, Paris, France.
The Paris of France.
Does, anyways, yeah. First and foremost, the Olympic opening ceremony. there were some drag queens. There were also some
severed heads.
Severed heads. There were some. Depictions of ancient Greek mythology that I don't know exactly how this works, but my guess is that the story of the Last Supper was derived from because it was like maybe a little similar in experience or in presentation that, like, you know, a bunch of biblical looking people sitting on a table, but all of them were on one side, you know. I could kind of see
that. Also, just could have been a camera angle thing.
Well, it also could have been like there are only so many ways for a fucking feast to look.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Well, no, it is. From what I understand, that is an actual thing that happened in Greek mythology.
A Dionysian bacchanalia. Yes.
Yeah. That's what I was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do know some stuff about things.
American Christians can't understand the words you just said, and they understand supper.
Imagine, yeah. So, imagine.
I mean, I also understand supper.
Imagine your brain. Imagine that your brain is so fucking boring that you are looking at. We've got drag
Dionysian
queens.
Dionysian Bonorama. That's what you said.
Yes. Yeah. That you're looking at metal bands and blood fireworks and Celine Dion and behead and severed heads and drag queens. And what you are thinking is the Last Supper.
So the thing is, this dinosaur burger town that you were describing, here's the thing is that, you know, you could say it's similar to the Last Supper, but what you were saying, Georgia, like the camera angles, I would argue that the famous painting of the Last Supper, I think it's Da Vinci made it, you know, where they're all sitting. There's no way that 12 people sat down at a table and were like, let's all sit on one side. Like, it's just for the painting. It's,
I mean, we've got three people here right now.
And I mean, the other thing is that the Last Supper as a painting was not a portrait that Jesus and the apostles fucking sat for. That bitch imagined that.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know one of the most mind-blowing things that I learned on my trip to Italy years and years ago was? So I went to the town that Leonardo da Vinci is from. It's called Vinci. And at that point, after all these years, I realized, wait, his last name wasn't Da Vinci. He was from Vinci. And
yep.
Yeah. I have a West Virginia education. I caught that one.
You know,
you can go it's cool. Why don't you go back where you came from, first of all? I'm going to deport you, Georgia.
Damn it. South of the Mason-Dixon line again. You know what floored me is that so many people, especially from back home, were like floored that they would have drag queens. And I was like, dude, this is France we're talking about. Like, that is where gay people used to go to, like, chill.
There's a reason, like, why they say gay Paris, okay? Fuck.
Yeah, like, they are the place. Oh my gosh, I think the only thing that could have pissed him off more was, like, actual body hair, you know? Like,
oh, that would have been unacceptable. I would have thrown my TV. So there's a few feel-good stories from the Olympics, you know, after the opening ceremony, demon rituals. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently at some point in the last year, Flavor Flav learned that like a lot of the Olympic athletes like have to still work like two jobs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so Flavor Flav was like, oh, fuck that. And he just started sponsoring Olympians.
He sponsored the women's water polo
team. That's so fucking cool. Flavor Flav's the one of the coolest guys. Also, Flavor Flav's like net worth is only like $2 million. Like,
yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't think billionaires should exist, but like Flavor Flav should be one of them if we're going to have some. Like even just the cultural cachet that Flavor Flav has. Like,
yeah.
That's like one of the only reality TV shows that I've ever like purposefully watched and really enjoyed is Flavor of Love. Like, he's so goddamn charming. He's like, I don't know. Like, I guess he's either bad at business or just like doesn't try to be like that kind of business guy or whatever. But like, it was shocking that his net worth is only $2 million.
Yeah.
And that he's like redistributing that to the fucking Olympics.
Yeah. Olympians. I was going to say the general willingness to give back is what will keep you from being a billionaire.
Right. Fair. That is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're actually right.
Any billionaire.
Right.
The fact that if I had $10, I would give someone with $0, seven of those dollars is why I'll never be a billionaire. Like, I'm like, no, you take it. I had $10, which means I can get $10 again, but you had $0. So you take $7 because I have a better chance. Like,
and because you wear that clock on your neck all the time. Flavor Flav, friend of the show. Another feel-good story from the Olympics.
Snoop Dogg chilling.
Snoop Dogg chilling, always a feel-good story. Also, I didn't see too much about this, but do you remember in 2020 there was the track and field runner Sha'Carri Richardson?
Yeah.
Yes.
She got banned from the 2020 Olympics because she had smoked weed after her mom died or something like that.
Yes.
Well, she was able to compete this year and she won a silver medal.
Nice. I love that for her journey.
Yeah. So that's good. There was also the pole vaulter whose dick got caught on the pole.
I keep seeing edits of that on TikTok.
It's really incredible.
I don't know how it made it over to lesbian TikTok, but
look, I think because it is just a marvel.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Like, he could have tucked. He could have talked to the drag queens in the opening ceremony. He could have tucked.
He could have worn a cup.
And he was French. He should have known the drag queens.
He was just hanging dong. He was out there.
Yeah. It's
that was his plan all along.
Listeners, if you haven't seen this, I don't care if you're gay, straight, asexual. I don't care if you're anywhere on the spectrum. This is a marvelous sight to see for like not for multiple reasons. A plethora of reasons. This needs to be in your eyeballs. Please go look at the video.
I just want
to
know. Like,
it is so perfect. Like, it is just schlong on pole. That like this guy.
You know, like
so
the
long.
Moment it hit, he went ow, and then oh no, that's gonna get replayed.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Actually, the dick is not very sensitive to pain. Like, if you get hit in the balls, a lot of pain. But, like, I don't think that it wouldn't have been an ow. It would have.
Okay. So it was just an immediate, oh, God.
I think that.
Honestly, might have even
maybe
felt
like,
a little
oh,
good.
Oh, God. I'm going to. I'm going to get laid after this, I think.
There were some Olympians that used OnlyFans as a means of financing their Olympic run. And I think that this Olympian in particular was using the Olympics as a promo for his OnlyFans.
We got to support the longevity.
Yeah. Know? He was like, okay.
And the girth-jevity.
Yeah. The OnlyFans has a little more. The OnlyFans has a more, you know, in 4 years, he might not be able to be back at the Olympics, but he could still be on there with his OnlyFans. So
100%.
He was like, let me show the girls and gays what that dick do. Mm-hmm. It knocks me down from a pole vault.
It disqualifies me from winning a medal.
And then also $9.99 a month. You're in.
Yeah. So all the fun stuff aside, there was also some pretty awful stuff happening at the Olympics. And as I said, Kennedy and I discussed this a bit on the Patreon, but you know, I do want to talk to you about it as well. Speaking of course to Algerian boxer Iman Khalif or Iman, Iman, I don't know.
Imani
Khalif, the internet has spent the better part of the last week transvestigating. So this is an Algerian woman. In Algeria, being trans is illegal. It says female on her passport. Unambiguously, this is this is like, this is a woman. This isn't even like the, things exist on like, you know, trans women or this is just a fucking woman. Like,
yeah.
And the way,
as my sister said, this is woman version 1.0, like straight, just a truly cis woman.
Yeah. And so like, you know, all these fucking people for the last like 2 years have been doing this whole like, what is a woman? Like all these fucking right wing freaks, all these anti-trans bigots, these fucking psychopaths who for this entire last 2 years have been insisting if you are not born with female reproductive organs, you are not a woman. Are now changing their fucking mind.
Watching them be like, it's the testosterone that makes you like, is it? Cause I thought it was the pee-pee. What's it going to be here? People.
Yeah.
Pick a fucking lane and then preferably drive into the Jersey barrier and die, but pick a lane.
I've always said that I, in a partner, I'm looking for a woman that can bench press me. This is exactly what I was talking about. Was this woman.
Yeah. Now, you know, I wouldn't say I'm too surprised because like a lot of this crowd, you know, they trans men don't really exist to these people. They're only concerned with trans women. But these are the same kind of dudes that like is if a man is not fitting their opinion of what masculinity should be, they're quick to call him a girl or like, you know, so like it's not too surprising that a manly woman is like, you know, something that they are find unacceptable because they also don't accept womenly men or whatever. But, goddamn, like what, Matt Walsh, what is a woman? Like, what do you do? Answer it.
It's that a woman to them is someone that they perceive as a person they could easily fucking rape.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that they look at her and they're like, I could not actually, she could kill me. She could break me in half. Must be a man.
Now,
or my date.
but which, no, if that's the case, then that's the other one's not off the table, you know?
I literally can only, the conclusion I can draw about what these people consider to be a woman is just that whether it is someone that they consider not just sexually attractive, but actually fucking rapeable. Like that's, yeah. I'm pretty sure that their definition of a woman is this a rapeable entity?
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So it's, I mean, the fucking amount of people who like weighed in on this, it's insane that like, I don't know exactly how libel laws work, but like the Boston Globe printed that Iman Khalif was a man in their newspaper. Like,
that Jesus is fuck. Such sloppy journalism. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is.
It's, you know, J.K. Rowling's freaking the fuck out about it. And,
what a
you
cunt.
Know, J.K. Rowling is famous for threatening to sue people because the UK has very strong libel laws. She's threatened to sue people who said mean things about her on the internet. And I don't know if Iman Khalif wants to take that route, but like, I think she'd have a pretty good case. I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. J.K. Rowling is now famous for having a profile picture with black mold in the walls. So
she changed her profile picture and there's something in her new picture that appears to be a dildo on the wall behind her. It's
We've
probably
all done
not that,
that on Zoom before.
It's probably not that, but it sure looks like it and fuck her. So
yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I know that you probably, I don't know if you know this, Georgia. I never in my life have had any interest in Harry Potter. I've never read a book, never seen a movie. And it was mostly for personal reasons. I got glasses right whenever Harry Potter came out for the first time. And so kids at school were teasing me and calling me Harry Potter. And I just made a decision. I was like, you know what? Fuck Harry Potter. And so though it started for personal reasons, I am just continuously more and more vindicated for having that opinion. So...
I wasn't allowed to watch it because witchcraft. I know there's a lot of Christian moms out there who now know J.K. Rowling's stance and have to be like, damn it, we missed the boat on this one.
The, you know, and again, like, I don't know much about the story, but like it does seem like there's a lot of like themes in Harry Potter that is like certain people are biologically better than other people. Like, so I don't know.
But that's the whole thing that like blows my, like not blows my mind, but like the bad guys were clearly the people that were talking about like purity of blood and like the people that were the Nazis were the bad guys.
I was going to say, yeah. It's very like Nazi based, but then you get to, what is it? How do you say it?
Gringotts.
Yeah. And that's anti-Semitic in the way that all of that is created.
Oh yeah, for
100%.
Sure.
But
yeah,
she was like going for a thing, I think. And then
she doesn't know what she's doing. I wish she would shut the fuck up.
I think she was just a mom who wrote something down on a napkin and now she gets to have public global opinions about trans people. And sometimes that's just how life is.
Right. We love
crazy
it. Life. Yeah. So
I don't co-sign that opinion. I do not love life.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a fucking mess. You know, I was thinking though, and I wasn't quite sure how to say this. So I haven't tweeted this one yet, but I will share it with the ins. I do think that the absolute funniest time for World War III to break out would be during the Olympics. like all the Iranian and Chinese and Americans, they're all like, all the athletes are like sitting in a room like, so, should we fight? Like,
yeah, they're just in the dorms getting their pillows ready.
They just like slap fight each other. Okay, but I was like, maybe this is because I just like went to a live WWE event, but I feel like this could be really solved in a tables, ladders, chairs match. Like, I think if we did a TLC match here with some world leaders, we could get something done, or we could at least get some of these people concussed to the point of like no longer being viable. And that could also be good.
You know what? I would not mind seeing a lot. There's a lot of people I would like to see get hit with a ladder.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
smashed
so.
Through. I would love to see Benjamin Netanyahu get smashed through a table, jumped on by someone on a ladder holding a chair. You got to climb the ladder with the chair. Your tag team partner gets the other person on the table, and then you fling yourself off the ladder with the chair and crash through the table and smash that motherfucker. That's how we do it.
I would fully put my last $20 towards that pay per view.
Yeah.
I got 20 on it.
Yeah. I buy in.
Vince McMahon, are you listening? He's not the wrestling guy anymore, is he?
No.
Fuck him. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, he is a classic piece of shit.
A classic. Let's move on.
A version 1.0.
We've been talking a lot about, you know, horrifying things and bad things, so I want to lighten it up a little bit. Our next subject, we are going to talk about the meat death of the universe.
Sorry, what?
The meat death of the universe.
You said it again, but it still meant nothing to me. Try more words.
The meat death of the universe.
No,
oh, that's the same
new
words.
New words. Different words.
Revenge of the meat?
Worse. That's worse.
I think I know where you're going.
I'm getting
this.
Further from understanding. What are you talking about here?
So this week, the United States has been hit with a outbreak of listeria because... Boar's Head has been selling a bunch of tainted meat in stores across like 13 states. So far, like 30 some odd people have become, have been hospitalized, and two or three people have died because somebody spilled some fucking disease on some lunch meat. I don't know what listeria is. I think it's a bacterial thing.
Yes, it is a bacteria.
I will say that this would happen when I finally moved 5 minutes from a Walmart. I was so excited. I was like, oh, look, it's right there.
I was so excited.
I'm still West Virginia white trash. I feel comfy in a Walmart. Okay?
Here's the thing. I actually, okay, so this isn't very leftist of me, but like, whatever, go fuck yourself. I kind of prefer shopping at Walmart to,
I don't order on Amazon, if that helps at all. I try not to give Jeff Bezos any of my money.
I also do that, but I'm going to hell.
He owns everything. So.
I've seen a lot of people like in the last few years talk about like anxiety they get from going to the grocery store. And I was always like, I don't really understand. Like, I know like different people suffer with different levels of it in different situations. That's fine. But like that particularly, like I never understood that. Because I usually go shopping at Walmart, and I too feel pretty comfortable in a Walmart. I know I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, but that I still have West Virginia white trash in my blood somewhere. My aunt lives in West Virginia. That's not how blood works, but whatever. So I never understood that like grocery store anxiety until a few weeks ago. I went into a Whole Foods, and it
a
was
Whole Foods?
Fucking overwhelming.
Yeah,
I was like, "Whoa, okay, no, I get it. I feel like I'm not allowed in here." Like,
I don't. I mean, yeah. That's how I feel in the Market District. And then there's like the areas with the market stuff, and you can wander into the organic section, and you don't know, and you're at the checkout, and the strawberries were $9 instead of 99 cents, and it's somebody ran you over with their foot and hit you with their cart. Fuck, it's stressful. I hate the grocery store.
See, when I said I like having a Walmart, it's for adventures of things I don't need. I do not grocery shop at Walmart.
Oh, okay.
I have to go to Trader Joe's because I do get overwhelmed with too many brand choices.
Yeah.
And Trader Joe's just tells you what you're going to eat for the week.
Yeah, like, I don't
that's
like
what
going.
I like about.
One of my friends told me that she loves going to the grocery store because she loves to see what new groceries there are, and that was so horrifying to me. Like, I was like, I hate the new groceries. No. I go in there and there's new groceries and I hate it.
Okay, so that is the feeling that I experienced at Whole Foods, but because I've been shopping at Walmart since I've been grocery shopping, there are a lot of things, but I know all that stuff already. Like, whenever there's something new, there's 1,000 things in one aisle, but there's only one thing I don't recognize. So like, it's not as overwhelming, but I went into Whole Foods and there was 1,000 things in every aisle that I'm like, I have to look at all of these.
Yeah. Like, it is for my like ADHD mind, mm-hmm. It is literally a pain inducing experience. Like, I have to prepare to go in.
Absolutely.
And then decompress when I come back out. Yeah. And I'm mean for like 40 minutes after I've been in the grocery store.
100%. And another store that does that to me is IKEA. I have never made it out of an IKEA without crying in the car.
Oh,
I
yeah.
am dead serious.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I hype myself up, I'm like, we're going to eat some meatballs. Okay. We're going to walk through this place. It's going to be fine. We're going to get some furniture. It's going to be okay. And 2 hours later, I am crying in my car.
My business partner and I
too much.
My business partner and I discovered that there are people that are walk the showroom people, and that there are people that are go straight to the basement people. And I am a walk the showroom person, and then I like to spend as little time as possible in that basement of terror. And she's a basement person, and so we were in that IKEA for like 4 hours. And between all our disorders and disruptions and dysregulations, that was the closest to her and I are arguing we've ever come.
Yeah,
we
I'm
don't
not
argue
a showroom
like that.
Person because I just, it's so much crap and it's overwhelming. And then I'm like, if I bring this home, it's not going to look like this. Like,
no.
I want it to look like, like I would, if I had the money, I'd pay for an IKEA designer person to just fucking decorate the place. I can't.
See, and I'll go to IKEA and walk the showroom and be like, okay, this is all inspiring. I'm very interested in all this. Then I get down to that basement and I'm like, oh, I have to figure out the pieces I need for it. Absolutely fucking not. I'm out of here.
I went to an IKEA not that long ago. I hadn't been in like 10 years. And I was like, it was like a day where I was like rained out of driving the ice cream truck or something. And so I was like, I'm going to go to IKEA. Cause I was like in that area. It's near Walmart. And, I went in, I wasn't really looking for anything. I was like, I kind of need a lamp, but like, I'll see. I'm not like, I need a lamp, you know? So I just walked the showroom for a bit and I was like, kind of like, man, what am I doing here? I was in there for like an hour, just like looking at stuff. And I'm like, man, all right, but at least I can go get some meatballs.
At least I can go get some meatballs.
Then I went to the fucking line for the cafe and there was 50 people waiting in line. And I was like, I'm not getting meatballs now. Fuck. Great.
It's got to be meatballs first for me.
Terrible.
I cannot go into an IKEA hungry. I won't make it out.
See, I have to meatball between the first floor and the second floor.
That was my plan.
Yeah, because if not, then I'm down on that second floor and you're trapped and you can't go backwards. I think that's why I don't like it either, is there's like a flow of traffic and once you're in, you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck no. Anyways, I was like, why the fuck are we talking about this? Because Boar's Head poisoned the grocery store.
The meat death of of the universe.
The, meat's up of the universe.
Meatballs are safe.
So it's not just Boar's Head. It's also Weir's Farm and Freshire Farms. They recalled not only deli meats, but also peppers, green beans, squash, parsley, and other produce. There's a whole big ass because the listeria is coming.
Mm. It's coming for all of us.
And it is coming for the elderly, the very young, and the pregnant first.
Mm. Looking down at my belly, I don't know if I'm safe. I have to pee.
Oh, well, all right. We'll just talk amongst ourselves. Yeah, apparently Boar's Head recalled 7 million pounds of deli meat. Bad week for Andrew Hillary. 71 products made over the course of 6 weeks. Wow.
And who is regulating that? That should be...
The Department of Agriculture said more than a dozen prepackaged and bulk summer vegetables were being recalled due to possible listeria contamination. Huh.
I worked on a local farm last year, and I've been debating at least going back through there to get their vegetables because at least they're fresh. And now I think I'm going to do that. But
yeah. 87% of listeria infections require hospitalization, and 1 in 6 people die from the illness. Cool.
Wow.
The recall. So people from 13 states got sick, but now the food recalls cover over 23 states. They recalled liverwurst. Okay. If you're eating liverwurst, I mean,
then you're asking.
Yeah, you're asking for it. I don't care what these people were wearing when they caught listeria, but if they were eating liverwurst when they caught listeria, that's your first mistake.
That's natural selection.
Yeah. Ooh, Virginia old-fashioned ham. Now, that's not Italian Cappy-style ham. Why you got to come after the Italians like this? Bologna? Salami? Fuck you. Italians do love a deli meat, though.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. I watched The Sopranos last year for the first time, and it really, you just want meat the whole time.
I mean, I'm vegetarian, so I don't ever want meat. And actually, I'm bisexual, so at best, I could only want meat half the time.
An incredible thing to come back on.
Welcome. Yeah, you went away. We took a little meat break.
Okay, that is like the thing that I would do. You know what? You filled in for me perfectly.
We've been on this podcast a long time.
Let's move on. We got some other news talking about other deaths of the impending deaths of the universe. Donald J. Trump. This man has been. He's had a weird week.
I just wanted to call him Dingle Jingle Tringle, and I don't know why. I couldn't suppress that.
Dude, okay, no. Dingle Jingle Tringle and Jan Stance Vance. Like, yeah. I would vote for that ticket. That's
what, like, you said Donald J. Trump, and I was like, Dingle Jingle Tringle. I couldn't stop it. I'm sorry.
This guy had a wild fucking week. Okay, one of his things that he did this week is he went and did a public like interview question session with the National Association of Black Journalists. Did either of you see clips from this?
No, because I was afraid to look.
It was,
I don't know what I was expecting. Like, yeah,
I thought it would be a bad job on his part, but like, it was like shocking. How like
bad?
Yeah, like the very first question they asked him, which like in his defense, it was like a paragraph long question, where they were like, "You've said this racist thing, you've done this racist thing. How do you expect black voters to vote for you?" And so that was like the opening question. And like again, I'm not like they were unfair to him, but like it was so many. They just like read off like 20 different racist things he's done. And his response was like, well, first of all, like, that's a very rude question. You know, I've never been greeted. It wasn't even like a hi, hello, how are you? No, you just went right into that. And, you know, you're from, what are you, ABC? That's a fake news organization. So, you know,
yeah.
But it just got worse. Like, he was like, catty.
And then he told him they were late.
Yes.
He was like, I show up on time. And
At one point, though, this is the most insane fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. At one point, one of the interviewers is asking him a question, and he reaches over and grabbed her water bottle and tightened the lid on it.
What a weird...
He regressed into full 12-year-old boy on defense.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like,
I know that he doesn't prep for anything.
Yeah.
But like...
He's usually like at least somewhat like good on his feet. Like not... Like that's one of the skills he has is that like you can put him in front of most crowds and he can just kind of work it. Like...
Yeah.
You're totally right. It was just a fucking teenager being like, uh-uh. Like... It was wild.
I mean, that thing with the water bottle, though, that's like the narcissist's power move. Like when you feel like when that person is losing control of the situation, but they can't openly like physically violate you. Genuinely, they find a way to violate your personal space or let them know that they are controlling something about your current reality. Like that shit with the water bottle. I'm sure the art of the deal is rife with those kind of fucking tips of like subtle power moves to defeat your assert dominance over your opponent. Like that wasn't him being a fumbling, bumbling fuck, even though that is what he is. Like he does that shit on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, It was just wild to watch. I cannot fucking believe he agreed to do it.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, if you're Donald Trump and you agree to do this, sit through one fucking briefing. Like, I know he doesn't, like, listen to anybody, but I don't know. But also, like in defense of the people asking that long first, very pointed first question, they probably were like, I can't believe he's here. He's gonna leave this early.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
I'm
point.
Getting this in. Before this guy dips.
But to be like completely unprepared for them to be like, hey, you've done a bunch of racist stuff. What's up with that? Like, that's the one thing you should be ready for.
Yeah, you kept telling American senators to go back to their country and you thought, oh, they're not going to bring that up.
Well, that's why would you bring that up? That's kind of a dick move.
That's kind of...
I had some thoughts about this that I thought that it was to some extent... I don't want to say staged, like what happened was staged, but I think that like we're all laughing about him being unprepared for that when in reality the narrative that he wanted to create was that I went to talk to the black journalists. I showed up for the black community. I Donald Trump, not a racist. I was there to be with these black journalists and they rebuked me. They didn't welcome me. They hurt like
they went to be honest.
Yeah, I think that he set this up in a way so that he could like demonize the black journal. Like the story from the left, the story of people watching it who aren't like enamored of Donald Trump is that like they hit him with these questions and he was quote unquote unprepared. Mm-hmm. But like the story that he will spin is that he made himself available to black journalists and wanted to do community with black people and that they I just hear him being like, I tried reaching out to these people and very nasty. They were nasty, you know, like some fucking dog whistle shit.
I feel like a little bit of it was to get clips because I'm sure in his mind, he was like, all right, Kamala's running. Black women aren't going to vote for me, but what I can do is get the racist uncle vote on lockdown. Like that was what we were watching with somebody's like racist uncle just going off.
Right. I think he wanted to create a narrative of black women being angry or black women being aggressive. Like I think that his own purpose was served. Everyone that already thought he was an idiot thought he was an idiot. And everyone that wants to believe something good about him can believe that, well, he went there. You can't say Donald Trump is a racist. He went to talk to the black journalists. They hated him. They hate him.
Yeah. Okay, that does make sense.
Fuck him. Well, fuck you, Dingle Jingle.
Somebody who I would argue is not making calculated moves is Donald Trump's running mate, Jan Stans Vance. He continues to have literally the worst fucking clips of him imaginable come out over and over again. And it's like, you know, a lot of times whenever politicians are awful, it's like from the things that they do. But like, most of the stuff about J.D. Vance is literally just things that he said are so fucked up. There's a clip of him this week where he's on a podcast, which first of all, you're running for vice president. Don't go on a podcast, you fucking dork.
He's a dipshit.
They were asking him about whenever he got the call from Donald Trump, like confirming, like, I want you to be the vice president candidate. And he was talking about how his kid was there, his 6-year-old, I think. And he's like, my son, he's like real into this like Pokemon thing right now. So he keeps wanting to talk to me about Pokemon. And he's, you know, I'm on the phone with Donald Trump. He's asking me the vice president. My son's up here. And I just had to turn to my son and say, hey, man, shut the hell up about Pikachu for a minute. I'm on the most important phone call of my life. Getting on a microphone and being like, I told my son to shut the hell up about Pikachu.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even like regular evil. It's just like so cruel and also like
fucking corny.
Yeah. Like he said it like it was a laugh line. Shut the hell up about Pikachu. I'm on the phone with the president. Like, Pikachu's cooler than either of you guys. Like, sorry.
Yeah. relatable white trash parent story is what it is. Like,
yeah. You think it's stressful when your kid's trying to talk to you about Pikachu while you're on the phone with debt collectors. Imagine how I felt while I was on the phone with the freaking presidential nominee.
You got so Pittsburgh there for a second.
Yeah, I did.
Presidential nominee, dude. Dan Tan.
It's in there. I bury it. Much like all my other traumas, I just fucking tamp that down and keep it pushing. And then like that kind of like that kind of narrative around parenting again, though, it's just that like the world's a tough place, like it's that like life's hard, get a helmet kind of parenting. Like that other dude fucking posted that thing about his kid dropped his fucking ice cream and he like let the kid cry and wouldn't get him another ice cream, and it's just like, congratulations on being a weird dick to your own kid.
I mean, there is a portion of the population that was like, my parents were a dick to me, that means it's my duty to be a dick to my children. So
that's
like, it's
how you get tough.
It's not that it doesn't connect with anybody, but it is one of those things that's like, man, like the having a child gives you the opportunity to raise them better than you were raised, and instead you're like, I can't wait to fuck my kid up like my dad fucked me up.
Like, right, like it's not helicopter parenting anymore, it's like the opposite. It's like Apache helicopter parenting, like, where you're just blowing shit
it's
up.
It's
hatercopter. Yeah,
hatercopter parenting, patent pending. So let's move on. This week there's a story, a case has finally made its way to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. This is dealing with the death of a woman named Ellen Greenberg, who in 2011 was found stabbed, I believe, 20 times, and her death was ruled a suicide. Suspicious? Probably. Her death was ruled a suicide by the police on the scene. Then her body was, she got an autopsy and they discovered that, she was in fact fucking super murdered. And so this like escalated, and then a district attorney or something, some fucking, pathologist, I don't know, somebody in the Pennsylvania state government, overruled the person who did the autopsy and changed her death certificate to say cause of death was suicide. So her parents were like, our daughter didn't stab herself 20 times. And they hired an attorney and they did this whole fucking process. And the case got like put on the docket to be reevaluated by a lawyer named Larry Posner, who in 2019, I want to say, Larry Posner became the district attorney of Philadelphia, or that county maybe. So he had to recuse himself from working on that case specifically, and it got kicked up and it got stalled out. And so for years and years, this has been stalled out and it's finally reaching the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Now, the person who was the boyfriend of the woman who was stabbed was I didn't write his fucking name down. I can't find it. Sorry. He is his family is huge Democrat donors. And they donated a ton of money to the campaign of the same person who was in charge of the review board that decided not to further investigate it from 2019 until it finally has reached the state Supreme Court. And that man who made that call is Josh Shapiro, who is the politician that this potential suspect donated millions of dollars to. And who is also, by the time you're hearing this, probably going to be announced as the Kamala Harris's running mate.
Barf.
Josh Shapiro literally covered up a fucking murder, and he's going to be on the Democratic ticket.
I mean, now, I knew Democrats liked the musical Chicago, but I never thought they'd use it as a defense. Like, she ran into her knife. She ran into her knife 10 times. Like, that's ridiculous. Huh. Have you ever seen that song?
I have no idea what
it's a
they
song.
They strapped.
I tried to laugh it off.
It was a knife on a suction cup, like a dildo, but instead she just.
Yeah.
I got
There's a line in it where she says, he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times about a murder.
Fun fact, the reason that the police ruled this a suicide is when the boyfriend showed up at her house, he's the one who found her. He said he told the police that her door was locked from the inside. And that was enough. They also said there were no defensive wounds. So, there's no way he could have, stabbed her and killed her instantly or anything. Although, some of the stab wounds, there was an independent analysis done of tissue a few years after the fact. For some reason, they saved some of her spinal tissue or something. And one of the wounds from the knife had no hemorrhaging in it, which means it was... that knife wound went into her after she had no longer had a pulse.
Great.
Which is not those listening at home. After you're dead, you can't continue stabbing yourself.
Yeah. Once you have killed yourself, you can't keep killing yourself.
As much as Diana and I would like to try it someday.
Don't leave me.
I'm in for just the one. I don't need to keep killing myself after I'm dead.
So, I didn't do a very good job describing these events, but here's the thing. If Josh, I think it's going to be Josh Shapiro because I don't know. The Democrats just, as bad as Donald Trump is trying to lose this election, the Democrats are also trying to lose this election. I don't know. I have no faith. I think the worst thing is going to happen, and that worst thing is Josh Shapiro being the vice presidential pick. Now, it's not just because he covered up a fucking murder. Josh Shapiro also, I don't know if you know this, volunteered for the Israeli Defense Force whenever he was younger. That's right. The man who wants to be our next vice president has fought in a foreign army.
Where they're defending rape prison.
Yeah. Same one. He also wrote a paper in college about how there will never be peace in Israel because Palestinians are battle-minded, basically saying that they are inhuman. They are animals. They cannot live in peace because they are less than. Now, somebody brought this up to him, and his defense was, look, I was 20 whenever I wrote that. Moving on. He did not apologize. He did not say, I think differently now. He just said, I was young when I said that, which leads me to believe he's still believes it. He's just mad that he said it out loud. They know better now.
If you could have given me 20 more years, I could have used more coded, nuanced words to say my horrific talking.
I would have had a staff writer clean this up for me.
Exactly.
Just to be perfectly clear, when I say they know better now, I do not mean Jews. I mean Zionists. There is a difference, and I do not conflate the two. But coming out of my mouth, I was like, out of context, that might sound a little crazy. No, you do not even have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. But if you are a Zionist, you are a bad fucking person. You are a problem. You are cheerleading the world ending. This dude is fucking... Here's the thing. I actually will come clean that I did not realize that... Josh Shapiro and Tom Wolf were different people. Tom Wolf was the former Democratic governor of Pennsylvania. And I knew that they were different people because they have different names. But when I saw Josh Shapiro speaking this week, I'm like, wait, what happened to that old bald guy? Which I'm sure Tom Wolfe had a lot of problems, but I think I liked Tom Wolfe, like, you know, relative to God. I don't really remember like hating him for anything too specific.
No.
Like, you
when
know,
was he in office?
I think that was
through COVID. Like, yeah. This was
okay. Because I moved here in the pandemic, so that's probably why I don't know a ton. Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Shapiro is his like direct.
He was the vice governor. Lieutenant governor. Yeah. So he moved in and he won in, I think it was 2022, whenever that election was, because it was supposed to be the red wave. Yeah. It was fucking Doug Mastriano, the crazy MAGA guy. So it was like nobody really looked into Josh Shapiro because they were like, well, we don't want the MAGA guy. Which, yeah, you know, is a mistake that we as Americans can't help but keep making.
It's the two-party system. That's the problem. Right. But
yeah, so
we all know. Ranked choice voting.
This guy is a fucking problem. And, you know, he is... out of all of the potential choices Kamala could make, this guy has the most red flags. Like, was involved in the cover-up of a murder.
Big red flag.
That's a big red flag for, like, just... general, like
I do want to be clear that he did not serve in the IDF or do any military activities.
He volunteered for them, and also he worked at the Israeli embassy doing propaganda for them.
That actually is more problematic to me than the volunteering that he did was on like farms and a fishery, which again, not great, but he was not engaged in a combat or a military role there, just the propaganda side, which is actually in some ways fucking worse.
Yeah, he was just an Israeli army peacekeeper. So I don't know. We will see. And like, here's the thing, that stuff hurts him a lot with the left. But like, I know the Democrats don't really care about it. And honestly, it probably, if you want to win a general election, you probably actually don't really need to worry about the left because it's just so small and disparate and all we ever do is yell at each other. But the thing about covering up a murder, that's something that the Republicans can and will use. Like,
oh yeah.
That's not some shit that like people are going to be mad about on Twitter. That's some shit that will be on the fucking news. Like,
that's some shit that'll be in a political commercial that will get pumped into everyone's grandparents' house, interspliced with the news for. Yeah.
But I think it says a lot about our country that he's still very much in consideration, because I think deep down the Democrats think, well, covering up a murder still not as bad as the gay guy, so we can't do Buttigieg. Like, yeah. Like that is, it's people.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I have my own thoughts about Buttigieg in general, but I know he's one of the people they're considering. And it is like,
I watched Buttigieg's movie that he made. I don't like that guy.
Okay. I'll tell you this. He's very elitist and he's very like, I don't know. My mom liked him when she stopped liking Trump. And I was like, you like him because he has a bunch of like academic accolades, but general America is not going to like that. So,
yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Relative to Josh Shapiro, I think Buttigieg is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a bummer. And like I said, that I think that they're either planning to leak it today as we're recording this or announcing it fully on Monday when this episode comes out. So we'll see. Like I said, I have no faith in Democrats not doing the worst possible option. So, yeah. Oh, also, fun fact, Kamala Harris this week has walked back all of her most popular progressive ideas from the 2020 campaign, where she was talking about a federal jobs guarantee, a Green New Deal, Medicare for all. She was like, I don't believe any of that shit anymore. So
she was like, I was just existing in the context when I said that stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know. It will be extremely funny if this election is taking place while we are fighting a war with Iran. You know, I do think that the war breaking out in the Middle East actually makes Donald Trump look a lot better to a lot of, not to me, but to a lot of people that like, yeah, you're like throwing the left under the bus, running towards the center. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is letting a fucking World War III break out. I don't like your chances. I don't know.
It doesn't look good.
We have just a bit of good news to wrap things up today.
Oh, wait. We don't want to talk. I have a piece of bad news I want to discuss.
Oh, great. No. What do you got?
Just wanted to discuss that the country of Venezuela had an quote unquote election this week. And Maduro was quote unquote reelected.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So basically, Maduro did come to power by genuinely winning an election at one point in time and then manipulated the various layers of Venezuelan government to transform that legitimate claim to the presidency into a decades long dictatorship.
Yep.
And, you know, he's celebrating another quote unquote win in a country that he rules over with fear and violence. And so, you know, if you're just doing an international fascism watch, that's something to just take note of. Simply.
I will say that the reason I didn't want to talk about Venezuela is actually, I don't know how to feel about it because I'm not disagreeing necessarily with anything that you've said so far about Maduro. But the problem is that the United States has specifically been fucking with Venezuela for so long that it's like both sides are bad. Like Maduro's opponent in that election
also
is somebody who is propped up by the fucking CIA.
Oh, like, yeah.
So like, I don't actually, it would, the people of Venezuela would not have been better off if the other guy won. But they also are not better off with Maduro. Like the United States has specifically ruined Venezuela because there's fucking oil there.
Yep.
Like there, because in 2011, I think Hugo Chavez said, "I'm going to nationalize the oil
yep.
and share the wealth with Venezuela." And for a very brief moment in time, Venezuela was like the most prosperous country, or becoming the most prosperous country in Latin America. And in fucking Barack Obama put them on the international terror list and made it so that they cannot do business regularly with the rest of the world, which has led to the entire fucking economic system collapsing. There were riots in the fucking streets before and after. Mm-hmm. And that all that unrest is good for us. You know, there was the election a few years ago where Juan Guaido, the entire United States was like, he actually won the election. And it's like, we actually don't fucking know. And it's with this election, we don't know because we have fucked them over so bad that we actually don't. Maduro actually might have won. Like,
yeah.
We have no way of knowing because we have ruined that fucking country to the point that it's like that we can't trust the things that we like or don't like coming out of there. So that's why I didn't really want to talk about it, is because I honestly don't think I have anything of value to say other than fuck the United States.
I mean, but that is part of the reason to talk about it, is like we are continuously tampering in the shit that other governments are doing. We are continuously manipulating really the outcomes of the lives of people in other countries. And then these are the people that we have in charge of fucking us. Like that is why. And I'm actually glad that you chimed in with all of the historical like
we exist
all
in the context.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. You think Venezuela just fell out of a coconut tree?
I have just fallen out of a coconut tree.
You think that oil just fell out of a coconut tree?
No, but I think that context is why it is important to talk about it. Like I'm glad you, wow, look at you just knowing stuff.
Well, it's specifically because I feel like not only do I not know what is like up the real up or down of the situation, but I feel like kind of nobody does. Like I said, I think it is perfectly reasonable that despite all the fucked up shit Maduro's done, I think he kind of might have still won the election because the other guy is, everybody knows that that's just the USA's guy. So like people might prefer the, well, at least he's our dictator. Like, you know,
I mean, right. It is.
It's fucked
up.
It's
why Middle America voted for Trump originally, because they, even though he's a billionaire, he's an asshole, he's a misogynist, he's all these things. People I know from back home.
That's our guy.
Yeah, that's what they felt like.
They
felt like the government isn't doing anything for me. Like the government, you said, you know, the United States did this for us. Like they ruined Venezuela for us. They didn't mm-hmm. do it for us. They did it for a couple of stakeholders
exactly,
in their
yeah.
campaign donations. Like
right.
that is what like
they did it for the same reason Josh Shapiro covered up a murder.
Yeah. Yep. And I think the only thing I can say unambiguously,
follow the money.
Yeah. The only thing I can say unambiguously is if we would have just let Venezuela fucking be, it wouldn't be. If we had just let them do their thing, this situation would not be happening.
Right.
The whatever the current situation is in Venezuela is entirely the United States' fault. It is fucking Barack Obama's fault.
Yep.
Greatest president of our lifetime, Barack Obama. Until Joe Biden, of course, greatest president of our lifetime now, who is currently letting Israel bait Iran into starting war. You know what?
Fuck it. Let's go to the good news.
The good news. employees of Disneyland threatened to strike and got a 31% raise.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
They held the fucking fire to Mickey's heels and they got that bag, baby.
Nice. I love that.
The Appalachian in me loves a good strike. I'm not going to lie. Both of my parents were on strike at one point in my childhood. Like they were part of unions, but I don't know. I was always a big fan of my dad's version of striking because my mom was a teacher. So they have to be like picket signs. We just want health insurance while we teach your kids how to read. Mm-hmm. But my dad's company's level of striking was like, we're going to park these trucks in front of your garages so you can't move. And we're going to fuck up your shit.
Yes.
Until you give us what we asked for. Like they were full blown like, oh, we're not just going to not work. We're going to make sure that no one works.
Yeah.
Like
that's how it's done, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Great. Well, ended on an up note. We're all going to die. Oh shit. Georgia.
That is an up note.
Yeah. Thankfully. The good news is we're not long for this. Georgia, thank you so much for joining us. Tell the folks where to find you.
Thank you for having me. Follow me on Instagram. It is where I post all of my shows. It is at Georgia Warder.
Warder.
Yes. It's the state Georgia and then Warder, which for some reason is hard to spell.
Just go to Philadelphia, listen to somebody pronounce water, and you got it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I have to tell every person that announces me at a show. But nice. You can find all of my upcoming shows on my account there.
Georgia is funny.
Georgia is funny.
Georgia does comedy like me, but like good, which is not like me.
Georgia is trying. That's what we'll say.
Wow. Yeah.
And for the listeners in Canada, I will be there at the end of the month.
Oh, shit. I think I'm going to Canada in October. Uh-oh.
Nice.
That's right. Trudeau, Canadian you listening? Comedy. We're fucking coming for you, dog.
I don't know if that I'm allowed into Canada because I have like unpaid parking tickets or something.
No, they're real serious about DUIs, but I don't think they care about parking tickets.
No, not parking tickets that I got here. Parking tickets I got there. Yeah,
they're fucking looking for me. $5.60
at the border.
Right? You want to see the Niagara Falls? All right.
Yeah, at the border, they're like, you have to pay a fee to get in, and I'm like, there's no fee to enter. They're like, yeah, no, it's just your back parking tickets.
Yeah, you owe us at least two loonies and one toonie. So tune in again next week for more bad news.
Bye.